Welcome to the In Hope Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Preach.
And I'm Brandon. And each week we drop an episode to strengthen unity in the body of Christ.
We want you to be part of the conversation. So make sure you like, share, subscribe, and let's talk.
I don't know. I feel like today, this one may end up just being a twofer.
Okay. It might be.
I can see us talking about this for a little while. Maybe we'll come back to it another time. Who knows? But this one is, it's interesting. I was out with some friends. We're out playing Ultimate Frisbee. One of them ended up sharing this Chat GPT question and answer with me and Christina.
Oh, and so I don't know about this.
No, dude, telling you. So she told me about it. As soon as she told me what the question was, I was intrigued just to see what, you know, Chat GPT would throw out there. Yep. And as she's reading through it, I'm like, oh, we got to talk about this. We got to talk about this.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. So here's one of the a pro from AI, I guess. I mean, you know, you can go both ways. You can have your pros and cons with it. But it's been helpful in a lot of different circumstances. I don't know if you've used it a lot.
Yeah, I don't use it a whole lot. I'm usually a pretty early adopter, but
yeah,
I think, I don't know, there's just been more of a, like, a, I'm not sure yet.
A little more hesitant.
A little more hesitant, because I do see, well, I think anything has a positive and negative side.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like social media, all the new advancements that have come, there's the negatives, but then there's also positives. And so I see the positives of it.
Social media.
And I have used it some.
The internet.
Oh yeah,
AI,
Industrial Revolution. I'm sure people fought against that too.
What's
when
it called?
First came and
people, humans,
yeah,
positives,
humans,
negatives,
yeah, there's positive and negatives to those, yeah,
right,
for sure. So I've used it some. My wife has definitely adopted it quickly, like, and she uses quite a bit.
Really?
Actually. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's been helpful. Like,
oh yeah,
helping. It can help you write a business plan. It can help you.
Exactly.
Like, there's all these things you could do with it that are like, oh yeah, that makes sense. But then you're like, well, how is it being used negatively?
Mm-hmm.
And what? And that's where we don't really know.
Exactly.
Like, we're kind of, because there's all these companies that are in charge of it, and you don't really know how they're using that information.
Well, yeah, and even individuals are kind of jumping in and using it in ways to multiply their efforts.
Yeah.
And that's the purpose of it, right?
It
helps multiply your effort.
It's meant to make life easier.
It comes back to, what are they using it for?
Yeah.
Right? And so, yeah.
Although I saw a recent study that said it's actually making us dumber.
Absolutely.
And Google did that too.
Yeah.
Like when Google came out and people stopped like learning things to learn them,
they just Google it.
I could just look it up.
Exactly.
And so we don't retain things as well as we used to.
Absolutely.
And so that's kind of the danger, I think, with that, where I'm kind of like, I don't know if I want to get too into that because I might end up dumbing myself down. And I'm already dumb enough.
I'm with you. What's up? I say all the time, and you've heard me say multiple times in our conversations, I'm like, this is what Google's for. It's to look up scriptures.
Yeah.
They don't know that.
It's great.
They don't realize that's why they were invented.
Yes.
But that is why they were invented.
I'm gonna
is
use
so
it. Yeah.
That we could look up scriptures when we're like, oh, what reference
I love it
was
for
that?
Researching.
Or how exactly did that go? And you have just you can
help me figure out the Greek,
exactly,
all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So there's definitely benefits, and I think ChatGPT can take that further.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Although there's also opportunities for misinformation,
absolutely,
just like with Google.
And I think that's one of the big misuses now.
Yeah, people have quoted Google on things, and it's like you find out, oh, well, that wasn't actually the truth. That's just something someone put out there.
Mm-hmm.
Wikipedia is known for that. And, like, I mean, it's got a lot of great information, but there's also people that can just put whatever they want.
Exactly.
And so,
well, and that's one of those things with
you never know.
Google. So Google even does this now. They've been using AI to where if you ask a question, they kind of give an AI summary.
Yeah.
Up at the top.
Which is cool.
And then you can start clicking on articles and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they usually tell you in that AI summary some of the different things they've pulled from, different websites or whatnot. And so that's one of those benefits of AI. But at the same time, you have to trust what AI is pulling from.
Yeah. And you still have to, like, I think any of these tools, they have to be used with a certain level of discernment.
Exactly.
Right? Like, Google needs to be used with a certain level of discernment. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like, that's where we got to still rely on God and stuff to, like, help us. The Holy Spirit be like, hey, you know, that information, you might want to look into that some more.
Oh, yeah.
And so, that's so, where, if we could do that, yeah. I think that, that it's okay.
Well, to, I think we should do that. I think we're going to do that right now we should with do this right question. Now.
Yeah, Holy Spirit, come on in. We'll do a little secondary prayer. We prayed already before we started, but a second little secondary prayer. Like, Holy Spirit, just like help us to interpret this, if this is truth or false, or and maybe it's an opportunity for us to learn even from something that may be a little bit scary.
Yeah, absolutely. And so here's the question, which I thought was a great question. Let me pull this up real quick because I want to read it word for word. You know, you could just change the wording slightly and it might give you a different answer. But this was the question. What would the devil do if he wanted to destroy this generation? What would the devil do if he wanted to destroy this generation? Pop that in the chat GPT. So for, like I said, a friend did this. And then when she was reading it out to me, I was like, oh, we have to talk about this. And so I asked her to send me word for word what her question was. And I popped it in my chat GPT. And we're going to go over the answer here.
We'll see what it says.
But and then I told you, not only did I take the answer, so it shows what it showed her in this answer, but then Chat GPT, a lot of these AI things will give you further prompts. They'll ask you, do you want to put it in this type of format? Do you want to see see this or that? And it asked if, do I have the question here? Where was it? Yeah, it said, if you want, I can also map this out in a battle plan and a counter strategy. So I said, do it. Let's
see what
do
it says. It.
Let's see.
Yeah.
And so not only do we have these answers, but we also see that there's a chat GPT through the enemy's battle plan. So the devil's battle plan, and then God's counter strategy as well. So there's, there's a couple of things that we can reference as we're walking through this.
And I've seen some cool, there's just another precursor. Yeah. I've seen some cool things about people prompting chat GPT with, like, what would be the most reliable religion, if you were to take all, because, you know, ChatGPT has access to this crazy amount of information,
everything online,
and
pretty much. And
the
it
ones
can
I've
sort
seen,
through.
It's been like, Christianity is actually probably the most, is the one that is the most likely to be true.
Yeah. Grounded in history.
So there's stuff like that where you're like, well, that, you know. And, but then you also got to be careful because sometimes the enemy will. The enemy knows it's true.
Absolutely.
And he'll even admit it's true.
Yeah.
But then he'll also take that and then try to deceive it a little bit. Exactly. So that's where you got to be careful about what could come and, what else. But I do believe that
Wait a minute. So you're saying the enemy will take what's true.
Yeah.
And then he'll twist it.
Yes.
And corrupt it.
Yes.
That's interesting. Because the very first point here. So here, let me read this opening paragraph, and then we're going to touch on this very first point. Yeah. So it says, if the devil's goal was to destroy this generation, biblically speaking, his strategy, and now what's I find it interesting that it immediately jumped to biblically. Now, this might be because it kind of knows who the owner of the phone is. Type of deal,
maybe
because I'm regularly looking up scripture verses and things like that.
It gets to know you, which is interesting. Yeah, McKinsey's, my wife has mentioned that. Like, it gets eventually, like the prompts, she almost doesn't need to prompt it as much for it to give her something that makes sense to her.
To her, yeah, that's interesting. So yeah, so it's biblically speaking, the reason that just kind of triggers, I'm wondering, is the devil prominent in other religions? I'm not sure if.
Well, I think there's always like a counterpart. Like, you got like the yin and yang of things in Eastern religions and stuff. And so I think that is always kind of like a.
Yeah.
The bad guy, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. But I feel like the devil, Satan, I feel like that's exclusively. Or more prominent.
Well, the fallen angel, probably part of
it.
Like who he was, I think is unique to Christianity.
Exactly. And just kind of that.
Like where he came from. And,
And just that idea of that structure of there being this individual mm-hmm. who is kind of king of these evil forces
yeah.
that are anti-God. So that's, but yeah, it jumps straight to biblically. It says, biblically speaking, his strategy would likely be more subtle, strategic, and disguised than most people imagine.
Yeah.
Interesting. Scripture says he masquerades as an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14,
mm-hmm.
and is the father of lies, John 8:44. So he often works through deception rather than obvious evil. And I think that yeah. needs to be a warning to a lot
that
of people.
That should be a warning, yes.
Right?
I think a lot of things that people do in the name of like, well, even like Mother Nature and like yeah. Putting nature on a pedestal. It's like, or creation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's created by God.
Yeah.
To be a good thing.
Yep.
But if we start to worship it, are we, that takes us into a negative direction
uh-huh.
and turns things into idols.
Yeah.
And that doesn't seem, that's kind of like that light uh-huh. twist on
twist.
Things.
Yeah, exactly.
And you see that in old religions that mm-hmm. worship like the sun and the stars and
yep,
stuff. And
absolutely.
Like, and that was probably a twist of Satan to convince mm-hmm. them that that was the right thing to worship or yeah. like cows or
yeah,
any of those
exactly.
things that, you know.
Yeah. Worshipping livestock and images.
And on
people.
The surface, it doesn't seem that bad.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, this is all beautiful. And then, like, mm-hmm. it's worth worshiping.
Yeah.
Maybe. But it's not.
No. It falls short. And so we have here's how that could look in our time. Number one, corrupt the truth is what it says.
Yeah.
Number one, ChatGPT's
take
first
the truth.
Is corrupt the truth.
See how you can change it a little bit.
Right? And so it says, and three bullet points under number one, it says twist God's truth so that lies feel like truth.
Yeah.
Blur moral lines so people can't tell right from wrong.
And a list of verse, which maybe we should look that up.
Yeah, Isaiah it says Isaiah 5:20. And then make the Bible seem outdated and oppressive.
We've seen that.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. People are always like, oh, ancient religion, or they'll say all kinds of things like,
yeah.
Like that's the past.
Uh-huh.
And not worth looking at today.
And
definitely that has been a good tactic of
yep.
this.
And we'll make it seem, and especially the oppressive part, I've heard that many times, you know, that it's an oppressive religion and that it pushes this male dominant patriarchy that isn't mm-hmm. isn't kind to women and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay. So
yeah.
we are, I think what's interesting, and this is one of the things that stood out to me, is as she's reading this, I'm thinking, he's doing that. Like,
yeah.
that's what's happening.
That's happening.
He's literally doing that right now.
That's not a new thing.
No. It's not, but it's just interesting.
It's just how would he do it even more?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But it also says to me, so he is trying. Like this is in action, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not
yeah.
it's not this hypothetical, well, you know, in this other world where if the enemy was real, this is what would be happening. It's like, no, this is actually happening.
Yeah. Well, and you see it all the time, even in like the church and stuff, right? Because
yeah.
People will pick and choose verses to make mm-hmm. a point that is very much their point or like
oh, yeah.
the enemy's point, maybe.
Uh-huh.
And without the rest of the entirety of scripture to
yeah.
back it up. And you see that happen over and over again. And that's actually a part where we can bring unity into it. It's like that's, and we've talked about this before.
Oh, yeah.
It's like that's why we need to come together and discern together in
exactly.
in community
mm-hmm.
to get that unity piece around, like, what does this actually mean? What is
yeah.
the scripture actually saying?
Exactly.
What's the context? What's all these things?
Yeah.
And you see that happen all the time where things are taken completely out of context.
Absolutely. And it helps when you're in a community where everyone has their own knowledge of scripture
mm-hmm.
and not by their own knowledge as in like their own personal scriptures, but
right.
meaning
Like, for example, all learned.
Yeah, you've learned, for example, your favorite book may be the Book of Romans, mm-hmm. right? So you've read that a lot. You can reference that quickly. You've dug into that more. Whereas my favorite book is the Gospel of John, right? Mm-hmm. And so when we're talking in conversation, a lot of my references are going to come from the Gospel of John. And what's important about that is now you're in a community where different people are, you know, they're reading different things, mm-hmm. but they're all, it's all from the same book, all from the same spirit, right? It's all the one word, and it balances itself out.
Yeah.
The cross references in scripture are just so beautiful. Like that, that it's alone crazy. Helps to
so many.
Just show, okay, this is a work of God. Man would not be able to do this. When you just look at the cross references alone.
Let alone many men.
Yeah,
right?
Many men, right?
Because it wasn't just one.
Exactly. And then so when you have that, you have all these cross references and things lining up, and you have people that almost want to say specialize or know certain passages better than others, mm-hmm. and there's a variety there, you're able to help balance each other out because the word itself is – the whole thing, cover to cover, is part of the context.
Yeah.
It's really good if you're studying this verse, you know, this passage in Romans. It's really good to be a expert on Romans and be able to talk about that context within itself. Mm-hmm. But you also have to look at the larger biblical narrative as well, right? Yeah. And so to be able to do that within community, it makes mm-hmm. it to where we're sharing that load together. And it makes it more likely and this is something that more likely you're going to land up near the truth. This is something that you see historically when it comes in. Again, one of the reasons why, if you ask ChatGPT, it'll point to Christianity as being the most reliable is because of how historically grounded it is. Mm-hmm. When you look at the manuscripts, one of the reasons we know we're so close and we're right there on what was originally written is because there are so many manuscript pieces that line up. So where
that's actually a good example of one of the lies, right?
Exactly.
Because you see people post like, well, it's been translated from a translation, so it can't be accurate,
mm-hmm.
right? But then there are those evidences where you can go back and be like, well, no, not really.
Yeah.
Because they've compared the newer translations to the original manuscripts that
they've found. And they do it again and again, redoing it
and all that stuff, and they find that it's not.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is crazy because of how long it's been.
Exactly.
So, I mean, our minds automatically want to assume that, that could have been all lost in translation.
Yeah.
But then they go back and they see that it's not, and then it's like, okay.
Yeah, and there's cool. So we're reading just as a church family, we're reading Acts right now. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that Luke points out in the beginning, now remember, I love Luke. Luke is a doctor, mm-hmm. Great historian in his own right. You know, he has a good head on his shoulder because he's a doctor, right? And so he has a really good head on his shoulder. He's the author of the Gospel of Luke and Acts. And Acts is a second part to the Gospel of Luke. And so he even references, you know, and beforehand, you know, he was talking about what happened in the gospel, and he says to Theophilus how he's continuing this story in Luke. And in midst of that intro, he mentions how Jesus showed himself with many proofs. And that phrase, many proofs, just stood out so clearly to me.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're talking about scripture and the many manuscript pieces and whatnot that all line up, to me, that shows God's faithfulness, his grace, because he didn't need to do this, his faithfulness, his grace, and his hand of protection around his word to make sure that we have this and we know we can trust in it. Because for something that was written so long ago, to have the evidence of so many different pieces and writings from hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years ago that continue to line up and line up and line up, you won't find another book that's there's more historically like grounded. There literally is no other. You can look at books that are taught in universities as historical, ancient writings, and we don't question their authenticity.
Yeah.
Scripture, their manuscripts, their date, and how close it is to the original writing, all of that far surpasses all those things that
we read. And it makes you wonder why why people don't want to believe it. But I think it's it comes down to the ultimate, like, ground level. We just want to be in our sin.
Exactly. Well, and then we have to.
We don't want to
give way. Yeah, we have to acknowledge that, okay, this is from God.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a big deal to acknowledge this is the word of God.
It is.
Right? And so, number one.
So he's going to try to twist
it. He's going to corrupt the truth so that.
That happens all the time. And those are the things that make it to the news.
Exactly. Yes, sir. And that's
part of the deception.
And
right?
That's part of the deception. And that's part of, for example, even when we talk about things like our concerns with AI and whatnot, mm-hmm. the issues that we have with social media, with internet, with mm-hmm. artificial intelligence, because you're seeing that people are using AI to make videos.
Yep.
You have, I think you brought up the other day, AI preachers, right?
Yeah, and they're starting to use them to do sermon prep, which even like this, we're using it for this podcast, which there's a danger there.
There's a danger there. I'm even talking about
it's also like
actual, not even a real pastor,
yeah,
but there's a video
right. just
of
made
this
up.
Artificially
yes,
made
it's not even real.
Individual.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I know, so my wife and I, we're intentional about keeping our kids off the internet.
Yeah, we are too.
Like, we don't put their photos all over Facebook or anything mm-hmm. like that anymore. And it's because we're realizing, okay, people are taking AI and they're doing things with like, you can find fake Taylor Swift out there.
They'll call and...
Yep.
And they can make it sound like your kid.
Sound like your. And every single time I get one of
and
those,
they can
like
send you pictures
a call, and I say hello.
Yeah.
Because that happens so many. I'll get a call. I'll say hello. I don't hear anything. I'm like, oh great, now they have my voice.
Oh, they've had your voice for a while, bro.
Right? No, exactly. I don't know why you want
it. You're a podcaster. There's no way out.
I don't know why you want it, but so it's like, okay, now with that, and they're able to just take a face from a picture and then put it on someone else.
Yeah.
And make it seem like that person's doing whatever they want them to do. So we're like, no, like our babies don't need to be out there like that. So with that, I'm thinking, let's look at this passage real quick, because he's taking this idea. Yeah. This corruption of truth is twisting God's word so that lies feel like truth. You take as much. And that's one of those things. 90% truth. Mm-hmm. Even 99% truth, and then you can twist that little lie up in there, and then that can start getting people going down the wrong road, and that's the enemy's game. Like
I've
Jesus
seen that
said,
many,
he's the father
many
of lies.
Times on social media, a verse with just a slight
bend, absolutely,
and then they're like using it against Christians, or,
exactly. Yeah. So here we go, Isaiah 5:20. This is where he says he'll blur moral lines so people can't tell right from wrong. So Isaiah 5:20 says this, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter."
Mm.
So it's part of these woes that Isaiah is speaking. And you have to understand, he wouldn't be saying this if that's not something that was happening.
Yeah.
Right?
And oh, so, yeah, we call evil good sometimes.
Oh, come on now. And lies, truth.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I mean, when we look at LGBTQ, right?
Yeah.
And we look at that whole issue with, we have to call this female a man, mm-hmm. and we have to call this male a female, and we can't acknowledge the scientific truth that down to the level of their DNA,
yeah,
you can tell this isn't right.
Yeah.
Right? And we have to deny, and I'm forgetting.
It's that, the lie of the truth.
Yeah,
that's what
right?
saying, like, calling it's a lie of the truth.
Calling the lie of the truth and the truth of, and so often,
and then
for
there's
example,
the, like
love,
living my truth. And
living
those
my,
kind of
oh
things.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah. And then
well, there can only be one truth.
Yeah.
But in a way, we've kind of accepted this, whatever I believe is the truth is mm-hmm. the truth.
Well, and even this idea, some things like that being pushed across a society, right? Mm-hmm. So when it comes, I'm a Christian pastor, mm-hmm. and I can't say this is across the board, but in my house and the way that we believe, we don't coincide with where you will find some denominations are okay with females marrying females, males marrying males.
Yeah.
We don't agree with that.
No.
Right. You'll find some that do. We don't agree with that. But when you get to the place of saying, no, now you have to acknowledge a man as a female and a female as a man, we have to understand, okay, now we're just blurring reality.
Yeah.
Now we're just calling lies truth.
Right.
And to not acknowledge and to try to cover up the harm that comes from all of these treatments that people going through transgender. And you have so many people that have gone through it. They've tried to detransition and they share about the harm that it's caused and it just gets silenced and pushed down.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot out there actually.
There is.
And that's actually one of the benefits of social media, right? Is that people who have been through that can get on there and share their story. Because I've seen a number of
Transition stories,
That they're just and they're so they're just trying to warn people, honestly.
Yeah.
Because they're like, I was too young. I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
And then it was a phase. And then they came out of it. And then their voice, like there's one particular one that I follow. It was a female to a male. And her voice was forever changed.
Yeah.
So she's always going to have a male voice now. Mm-hmm.
And she likely can't have kids.
She was able to get pregnant.
Was she? Oh, wow.
Which was kind of crazy because when I first found her, she was pregnant and she was so excited about it.
Nice.
But then when she talks, she's like, she sounds like a guy still.
Yeah.
And it's just like this hard thing that she's got to live with the rest of her life because of this choice that was kind of pushed on her.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, well, you don't feel that. Exactly. So you must be.
Yeah.
I mean, this will make you happy.
Yeah.
And
that's another thing that, again, well, and that's you don't want to hear.
That could be a lie, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But this will make you happy. Yeah. And people will argue against that, I'm sure. Yeah,
exactly.
But time will tell.
Exactly.
It's such a new thing.
It is.
Like, we don't really know what the long-term.
Yeah, absolutely.
But even now, I think we're starting to see
some of that. Absolutely. Because
people are coming out of it and being like, no, I had to detransition because I went through this thing and it was not good.
Yeah.
And didn't realize.
Yeah. And there's
a lot of time it's because they find Christ and actually realize what their true identity is.
Yeah.
Because it's an identity crisis.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. And there's even some that it's not even a religion thing, but they understand. They haven't even come to that place of finding their true identity in Christ. But they came to realize, okay, this isn't really me. This isn't fulfilling me. This is only causing more hurt and harm. And so it's interesting, these woes, you know, calling evil good and good evil, calling darkness light and light darkness, truth lies, what's bittersweet. And, you know, depending on where you're at on different viewpoints, there's going to be disagreement on what is bitter and what's sweet, right?
Yeah.
We all don't have the same taste palates. So, I mean, that's a good example, right?
Sometimes
there's a variation there. But with that, I think when you are able to put it all out on the table and there's the most information and you're able to dispel what's wrong, what's fake, and let what truth there is just stand, then we have to come to really making a decision that puts people in the best place of making a decision of, well, I'm just going to either agree and go along with it or disagree and not go along with it. But we can't say that's not true, right? And so it's one of those things to where I think the best place for people in general is to get as much of the truth out there as you possibly can. Listen to as much of the evidence and whatnot. And I think, and this could be a bias opinion on my end, but I feel like a lot of times what is true is suppressed when it comes to media, so even social media.
Yeah. I think it's a lot harder for those true viewpoints to get out.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I
feel like a lot of times even algorithms will work against it.
Yeah. Well,
I
think that was almost proven with Facebook. I'm not sure, but it seemed like that was definitely the case with certain certain platforms. And I haven't looked into it enough to really say that with 100%.
I know there was controversy.
But there was definitely controversy around that and throttling and all those kind of things. And that's happened for other things too, like political and all that.
Yeah.
I think I kind of lost my train of thought there.
No, I hear you. No, yeah. And so if you have that, you have people behind the scenes that are kind of working that buffer to push more of what they want pushed and more of that agenda and silencing some of those viewpoints, then we're not working with all the information.
Right. Well, and that's why, I was going to go with that. That's why we needed to have that community and our own reading. And then also the asking of the Holy Spirit, I think.
Yes.
I think we really do need to, like, I don't do that enough.
Mm.
So I'm assuming most people don't do it enough is to ask when we're faced with information that either is contradictory to ours or even affirms ours, to ask God to be like, can you help me discern this?
Exactly.
Yeah. Cause if we're not really asking him,
that's really true.
Cause you know, most of what God can do in our life is based on surrender.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're not asking, we're probably not surrendering.
Yeah.
And so we need to surrender a little bit so that, because he gives us, that's the free will thing, right?
Yeah.
So we have this opportunity.
That's another one of those things, right?
Yeah, it's one of those things. Like we have this free will, and we can override God's discernment, but with our own opinions and our own flesh.
Our own stubbornness.
And our own flesh will often not be correct because we do have a little bit of that deceitfulness within us and selfishness.
Yeah.
And so we need to ask, we need to surrender our will to his in those moments and be like, Lord, is this correct?
Exactly.
Like, give me discernment over whatever this information is that I'm looking at right now.
Mm-hmm. Man. Okay. So we have this corruption of truth, twisting God's, me and you were talking earlier, we're saying, well, it depends on who we want to upset as far as where we go with this, because that first bullet point.
We might have upset somebody now.
I'm sure we already have. But
that's okay.
And again, you know what? That's one of the, you're probably about to say it. Go ahead and say it. Go ahead.
More recently, I think, I've always been a bit of a people pleaser.
Okay.
And that comes out in a negative way in ministry, because you will choose making people like you over the truth. So I've been way more convicted of that recently and been like, I cannot continue down that path, because then I am not presenting the gospel.
Yeah.
Because it can the gospel is offensive.
It can be. Absolutely. It can be.
Well, I think it just is to most people, because we all don't want to admit the sin that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And so at first it's always going to be offensive.
Well, it has to some have level. To.
Because you're like, wait, I'm doing something wrong.
And vulnerability.
Yeah.
And absolutely.
I think that is offensive to us
or
to our flesh.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Maybe that's a good way to say it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's offensive to our flesh. And so until we understand that it's for our good, and I think then that's when we start, like, it starts not being offensive anymore, because you're like, no, God actually loves us and wants us to be in union with him and have all these blessings and things. And then you realize he's just like a good father.
Yeah.
It's just like you're probably offended a little bit by your parents, you know, when they're trying to teach you things.
Absolutely. Especially when
I know
you're
my
young.
Kids are. My kids are super offended by
especially
me all the time.
Especially when you're young and you don't understand it. And
like,
yeah.
You're absolutely. Stupid, dad, or for not, you know, understanding me right now.
You're ruining my life.
And you're ruining my life, right? Yeah. That happens. Yeah, yeah. But they don't, it's because they don't realize the purpose behind it. Yeah. You're not doing it to ruin their lives. You're doing it to guide them towards being good humans.
Yeah.
And we're naturally not always going to go that way.
Yeah.
And so we have to do that. And that's offensive to them.
Oh yeah.
And I can say that with like 100% accuracy that all three of my kids have been offended by me at some point.
Absolutely.
And so I think it is offensive, to some level. But that people pleasing tendency can get in there and be like, well, I'm going to try to twist it. You know, maybe that's okay.
Yeah.
To make everybody feel included, but that's not what it's about.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And
I'm going to look up a quote that I wrote down around that, but go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. And I was going to say, you didn't touch on, you went a different direction, which I'm glad you shared that. But what I was about to say was that we're not the final authorities on this. This is part of why we always say, this is a conversation, right? Like we may say things that you disagree with, that you think we're completely wrong on. For example, me just sharing even where I stand with when it comes to LGBTQ type of things.
Yeah.
Maybe ministers listening like, you're wrong and I can show you where you're wrong. Let's have a conversation. That's literally what this is about, right? Let's have conversation. But so we're not saying that like this is how it is. Shut up and color. It's not that type of deal. But in that, we're going to share the way we're seeing things on this. And I have to put that out there. I have to put out the disclaimer, because as we talk about twisting God's word so that lies feel like truth, I feel like this is one of those areas where you can start getting into different theological viewpoints, right? And denominational stances that some people will start flipping
chairs.
Well,
that's what denominations are, right?
Yeah.
They're different interpretations of what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes just different interpretations of how to practice it and how to govern. There's a lot of denominations that they believe almost the exact same things, but their governing structure, they felt like needed to be different.
Mm-hmm.
So, so they do a different type of governing structure.
Yeah.
I know of a denomination where literally and this is just part of American history, the way things were, is that there was a Pentecostal denomination that was primarily Black.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a revival, and a lot of white people started kind of taking over in there. And then so they decided to split, not because there was difference of opinion, but so that more of the Black congregants can run their own congregation and more of the white congregants could run. And so it was friendly. They even had like the bishop, the leader from that Black denomination, come and speak at their first, you know, governing council type of deal. But it really was just more of a, okay, you guys kind of need to do your thing and we do our
interesting
thing. Yeah. And so it wasn't a, oh, we don't agree theologically, we think you guys are way off base. It was culturally, we just kind of need to
we need to
split a little bit, because like we need to guard what we have and you guys need to do your own thing type of deal. So and so it was interesting. And there's so many different denominations and just the things that end up causing them to rift. It's not even always some type of deep theological difference. It's not like the Protestant, Catholic, like Reformation type of deal, right?
Some of them
it's,
are more simple.
Yes, some of them are a whole lot more simple. Some of it is literally just geographical. Where a denomination, they may believe the exact same thing this other denomination over here believes, but one started in this region of this whatever country, and this one started in a different country or whatever, a different region.
So it's got and a so, different denomination.
Yeah, so they just
really
have a different
pretty old, much the same.
Same thing, different headquarter locations, because they started in a different location.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
I need to do a deep dive into that at some point.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like a waste of time almost, but because you know, like what we're talking about a lot of the time is like, let's just be the big cheese church, big C church together. But knowing what those are helps you to understand how to maybe come to common ground.
Exactly. Absolutely.
I think that would be the reason for wanting to like dig into the denominations more.
Yeah. Well, and to realize again, we say this so often, we have a lot more in common than we do.
Oh yeah. I think so.
Not in common. A lot more things that we agree on than we disagree on. And so I think that would
like the
show
big one, like they
that.
All, I mean, all the denominations that I know of agree that Jesus was the Son of God.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's a big one.
Died, rose again 3 days later.
Died, rose again.
For our sins.
Those are those like core things.
Exactly.
That I call those core beliefs that we seem to all pretty much agree on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so, and I think that doing a deep study in that would show how much we have more agreement than we do disagreement.
Yeah.
Some of it is the differences and practices and governing structure and how far we take certain things. This you saw even all the way back before the Reformation with things like the monastic fathers and those being the monks, like the original monks, the desert fathers who they, when Catholicism came into the Roman Empire, they were like, oh, nope. Or I shouldn't even say Catholicism. At that point, it was just, again, it was just the church, right? Mm-hmm. So when the church became part of the Roman Empire, when Christianity became part of the Roman Empire, some believers were saying, nope, we have people that are now just moving into priests and shepherding roles because it's a way of influence within society. Mm-hmm. And they saw things becoming corrupt. And it's not because they had these completely different teachings than what was being taught now in the sanctioned church, but they just felt like we just want to separate. We want to take this another level, right? We want to go a different route. And so they went out into the desert and they lived as monks. And some of those same monk monastic fathers would go to the desert and then they would come back and be bishops and priests and whatnot in the same church. So you can tell there was agreement, but there was a difference in practices. Yeah. And because of that, you'll get the same thing with different denominations. And so we say all of that as we get into this idea of twisting the truth.
Yeah.
Twisting God's word so that lies feel like truth. There are some things that, so again, this, especially because of the area that we're in, you'll be safe. You're leaving.
Okay. I don't know what's coming. We'll see.
What's it called? When we look at LDS, Latter-day Saints, who will a lot of times portray themselves as Christian now. It used to be we're not them, and now it's they more so portray themselves as Christian. But when you look at Mormons or Latter-day Saints, they will use and reference the scripture sometimes, right?
Yeah.
But there's a twisting of truth
there.
There
is some twists there.
Right? And so that's one of those examples. And that's a big example because, I mean, I would say a third, I think.
Yeah, I know it's got a lot of Mormonism.
Like in this area, I want to say it's a third of people who identify as religious would identify as LDS.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's some areas in the country where it's even more, where it's like what do they call it? Mecca is an Islamic thing. But pretty much you're in Mormonville, all right? you are where
Mormon country?
Yeah, Mormon country, 90%+ of the population is affiliated with the Mormon church in some places.
Yeah.
And so, but you have this twisting of God's word where they will say this is God's word. They will reference it, especially with people who are kind of on the fence or very nominal Christian. I think that's the right word.
Yeah.
Right. Very just kind of laissez-faire. Yeah, I believe that's that's the word, but they don't follow it. They don't know it. They will use scripture. They will use God's word, the Bible, and then they just twist it and they add to it with things like the Book of Mormon.
Yeah, they'll use the Book of Mormon more.
Yeah, absolutely. But they'll start with this to get that foot in the door.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I talked to some missionaries the other day.
Oh, yeah.
They were actually really nice guys. You know, they're always coming and trying to do some service and stuff, and they were helping out. But I did kind of grill them a little bit on some questions. I was like, you knocked on the wrong door. I was kind of impressed by just the level of training they have, though.
Yes. They start training them all the way from
middle
school.
They are trained to answer a lot of the questions that I have.
Absolutely.
Because I had big ones like why did at the beginning did they believe in polygamy? Like why did they do that?
Yeah.
And they had some answers for that.
Oh yeah.
But it didn't make sense to me still. And that's a big one for me.
Yeah.
Is that like where did that come from? Because I don't see that ever really. I see it allowed in the Bible. And there's people that will this is actually a good one.
Yeah.
The twist of the truth, right?
Uh-huh.
That say, well, because it happened in the Old Testament, that God was like, yes, go for it.
Go for it. There's a lot of things that happened in the
Old Testament. A lot of really bad stuff that people that were God's people did, that he allowed because of grace.
Yeah.
I would say.
Absolutely.
And we take grace as permission a lot of times, and that's true. Even of us now, right? We
take
grace as permission to do things. And but it was never written that way.
No.
It was never written you should have more
to
than
go
one
do
wife.
This. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one of those examples. I don't even know if I want to say this one because I'm gonna hurt somebody. I'm gonna hurt somebody's feelings. what's it called? Our views might plummet off of this one. I'm sorry, but that's okay. So, prosperity gospel.
Oh, sure.
I'm going there.
Yeah,
I'm going there.
Yeah, if you do this, you're gonna make all your money back. Or
And so we have, and there is. If you're not familiar with this term, now there's different degrees of this, right? There's different degrees of this, but there are some who will go so far as to, there with prosperity gospel, here's a very overarching general thing, right? That I would say we could debate, right? And could be a twisting of the truth. And one of those things is that God desires all of his children to be rich, to be prosperous, right? And so it's interesting because you can see within scripture, there are definitely some people who are loaded. I mean, David was loaded. Solomon was loaded. Yeah. Abraham, Isaac, Israel, right?
They may use those as Joseph. Examples, right?
I mean, you can look and there's definitely God blesses many of his people and he will help them be prosperous. But then you also have a good number of examples of people who were not and did not live in such a way that that's
including
what
Jesus.
It was about, including Jesus. And so,
He lived pretty mediocre, like as far as his meat. Like he always had his needs met, but that was about it.
Well, and what's so interesting is that even so, one of the things that always gets me with Jesus is you could really tell the monetary, the physical wasn't a big deal with him.
No.
So much so that he gave the money. He made the treasurer of his church, his little church. He made the treasurer somebody he knew who was stealing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to give it to the thief.
Right.
He wasn't really worried about it.
Yeah.
He was not worried about it.
He was not. Well, he knew where the real provision came
exactly.
from.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Right.
It's like he knew he could make loaves and fish and feed thousands,
right?
Like a few.
And that's one of the things is you look at the way that he lived and you see this even, you see it with David, you see it with Abraham, you see it with so many of these people whom even God did bless. You see it with Job, right? They lived beyond the material.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't something that determined
their faith. Oftentimes those blessings, I think, come after he has broken the desire to make it a god. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
So like if you're making money a god, he's probably not gonna bless you in that way. But once you are able to fully you kind of see this with some I follow a guy that I won't say his name. He's a big pastor.
Okay, yeah.
And one of the things I like about it is he was constantly chasing fame, and he says this a lot. And it was he finally like broke it, and like I'm just gonna tell the truth, And now he's more famous than he's ever been.
Never been,
like right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I think that would be a big part of that. Absolutely.
I think that is like God knows our hearts
exactly,
so he's going to bless heart position over, over anything else.
Yeah.
And what I think prosperity gospel does is like, if you give me,
it depends. And that's why I say some of them are
like if you give the church all your money, then you're going to be blessed.
Exactly.
Which to some degree can be true. Like God does.
And so
bless
would you, and and so a giving again, heart.
So like twisting, that's where it's like that little bit of a twist
of a truth.
Because I do believe that God blesses us when we give.
Absolutely.
I do believe that.
Absolutely.
But then there's also like,
because again, he's the provider, right?
But I think there are people who take that too far.
And
that's like that little extra. And they hold it over people's heads.
Yeah.
And they place heavy burdens on them. In fact, there's a verse that I was just looking at where it's talking about the Pharisees.
Yeah.
And how they were placing heavy burdens on the people.
Yeah.
To do those things. Kind of thing, that legalism of like you have to give or you're or God's gonna.
Yeah. God's not gonna be pleased with you.
Instead of like the church coming around to people that were struggling and helping them, it's like, no, you gotta keep giving.
Yeah. Well, and there again, this is part of that where the truth could get twisted in this, right? Is this idea of, well, if you're struggling, then obviously God's not pleased with you.
Right.
Right. And then if you got money, if you're balling out, then you have the favor of God.
He must
right.
Be doing, yeah. Yeah, he must you got be doing the favor, right.
Which is interesting because so often in scripture, we see the opposite being pointed out.
Well, and you see it in modern day. Like if you look in other countries, I mean, people aren't getting rich off the gospel in other countries.
Yeah.
In fact, many times they're getting beheaded.
Some of the richest people. Yeah.
Well, they're getting killed, which is not prosperous
exactly
on this planet.
Nope.
But their prosperity is beyond
be in
that,
heaven.
Right?
Absolutely.
But not in the way that
yeah
that kind of theology would point
exactly
for prosperity.
Exactly.
It's like your life isn't always just going to be better.
Yeah.
That's prosperity gospel too. Not even just money. A lot of it's like if you follow Jesus, everything's going to be easy for you.
Yeah, it's going to be better.
And that is a dangerous gospel.
Absolutely.
Why? Because when it doesn't happen, then those people like leave the faith completely. Exactly. But it's like, that's what I was promised.
Exactly.
And that's not the truth, because oftentimes you'll actually be called into hard times.
Right.
For the benefit of the gospel.
Exactly. What's interesting, so one of the characters that always stands out to me the most in this is John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
John the Baptist was from a priestly household. His father was a priest.
Yeah.
So he would have had it made.
Under the old system.
If he would have stayed in the family business, he would have had it made. And he left that and lived in the wilderness, clothed
in camel's
hair,
right?
Yeah. Same with Paul.
Like he had it made. He was in the position. Yeah. He was doing what he thought was the right thing.
Citizen of Rome.
And then what ends up happening, he ends up in jail for most of the rest of his life, and then he gets
crucified.
Killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello.
So,
right? So
prosperity
yeah.
was not true for him, and not in the sense of that we think of prosperity.
Exactly. And so, I think that's a big point in that it's, you have to realize there is some truth in this. And that's why it's a twist. We're not just taking, you know, a lie and throwing it out there. No, there's truth in here that God does provide. God does bless his people. He does see our hearts when we're giving, and he's faithful. Jesus talks about, you know, multiplying and what's given and those types of things. And so we see that there's some truth there.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's the heart position. Where is our focus in it? And how
much
are we pulling on that to take from the sheep or the flock rather than give?
It's so much easier to confuse people when you mix the truth into it.
Absolutely.
And that's why people need to read their Bibles. Because a lot of preachers are doing this, right? Prosperity gospel is in the church, right? And so if you're not reading it for yourself and really questioning and asking that whole,
exactly.
that discernment piece of asking the Holy Spirit or finding other people to help you with that.
Yeah.
You can easily be led astray. And the Bible even says that in the end days, there many will be.
Absolutely.
So that's even more of a, like Jesus actually told us, like, this is going to happen more.
Exactly.
At the
more
end
and
of
more.
Days.
Absolutely. Man. So, twist. And I probably should have made a list, because I know there's quite a few out there of things where people are just twisting God's truth. Just they take his word and they twist it to make it, to make the lie feel like truth. And that's something we just have to be aware
of. Oh, here's one.
Yeah.
Here's one that might be controversial. Once saved, always saved.
That is controversial. Oh, buddy, you had to go there. There goes the rest of the views. He had to go there. So yeah, and that's one of, and I'm saying,
try not to people please anymore, bro.
That is one of the things where I feel like, okay, let's put it. I feel like, and me and Christina, we've had these conversations. Christina being my wife, we've had these conversations multiple times in the sense of when it comes to that, that's one of those things to where we should be able to say, and I think this is the way with most things, mm-hmm. we should be able to say, okay, whether you believe this way or that way, like we can be friends, we can be brothers and sisters in Christ,
yeah.
we can grow, right. glorify, and serve God together. We're not questioning your salvation. Now, when we do start questioning, I think that's where it gets dangerous, right? And yeah. with a lot of these things, because we can say that again, like with how we're talking about with the prosperity gospel, you're poor, God, you're not a child of God,
mm-hmm.
right? You're not prospering. God's favor is not on you.
Yeah.
And so if we look at it that way, and it's kind of like, okay, you believe in eternal security. You don't believe in eternal security. Oh, you believe in that? Obviously. obviously, you're deceived, and yeah. you have a ways to go, and that's... There's such brilliant people on both sides of that argument,
yeah.
I feel like. And so that's one of those where it's like, man, to me, it's like we have fantastic brothers and sisters on both sides of that argument that I can't wait to spend some time with in heaven.
Well, to me, it's like this is the thing, right, where it's dangerous. It's
yeah.
like if you tell someone that and you're not 100% sure of it,
mm-hmm.
you could be misleading them to hell.
You could.
Right? So it's like I don't actually know.
Yeah.
The 100% answer on that.
Yeah.
I have my beliefs
yeah,
about
opinions,
it.
Opinions, yeah.
But to say that to someone is to claim something that you don't have a right to claim.
Mm.
And that's where it's like a dangerous, like,
if, could so you're
be like
saying,
a dangerous twist.
Yeah, so you're saying twist. If you tell somebody, look,
you're once saved, always saved.
You're good to go.
You're good to go. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, because now you're putting them in this position of comfort. Where, like,
comfort where maybe you should be a little uncomfortable because yeah. God was not. He's not a God of comfort.
Yeah.
it's true. I don't think so.
No, nope, that's true.
Like, I haven't been comfortable.
That's because you don't have
actually,
the favor.
You know what? I have been too comfortable when I was being a people pleaser.
Yeah.
And that's actually a dangerous place to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I can say that.
Yeah.
So, you know, he is a God of comfort in many ways.
Yeah.
Like he's going to always comfort you.
Mm-hmm.
Like he is
yeah,
always
he
there.
He is our comfort.
That,
yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Where he's the God of comfort. But as far as like how we look at like, especially like American culture comfort,
yeah.
like couch comfort.
Oh yeah.
I don't think he's the God of comfort.
Mm.
If that helps.
Nope. I hear
kinda
you.
Separated it out a little
nope,
bit there. Cause he is the
you.
God of comfort,
yeah.
but he's not the God of comfort.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
If it doesn't make sense, let's talk about it. No, yeah. So, and that I completely understand, especially
yeah.
if you're, so I can give you actually an example on this one. One of the very first times I ever heard anything, was ever taught anything or shared, somebody shared anything with me when it came to God, the Bible, Christianity, religion, period,
mm-hmm.
was when I was real young in elementary school, and there was a friend in the neighborhood who used to go to church regularly with his family. And something that he told me, this is the first thing I ever was really taught. First, something that he told me was, as long as you tell God, forgive me for my sins every night before you go to bed, you'll be fine.
Mm.
Like no matter what, you're good. And so that's kind of that same idea of, okay, you're good. I don't need. Did you say you might have told me that?
No, I said I might actually agree with that.
Oh, okay.
Because I mean, the only reason I'll just say what I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think that once saved, always saved.
Okay. Yeah,
because yeah. I think you can choose to reject God again.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why.
Yeah, yeah. So that's
like I think
weird.
It would need to be a choice.
Yeah.
Like I think if you're choosing to follow God, I see this is where there's different lines of it,
exactly.
right? I don't think you can sin enough to lose. to lose it if you're always pursuing God. Because what he says is, because and the reason I would say there's this possibility to not be saved is because there's the verse that where he says, get away from me, I never knew you.
Yeah.
So if you're not following God at all,
yeah,
but you claimed him one day, and then you didn't follow him for the rest of your life.
And I think that's
there's
that.
Very much that risk that he's going to say, I didn't know you.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Exactly.
Even though he does know us. But like he's saying, like, we didn't have a relationship.
Yeah, we didn't have an intimate relationship.
So I think if you have a relationship with God and you can pursue that your whole life, you can have a lot of sin in your life.
Yeah.
Because we're faulty people and we make mistakes and we do sin from time to time and fall into lust and all those things. So I don't think we can lose it in that sense, but I think we can lose it if we're like, I reject you, God.
Yeah.
After you've accepted him. I think we can.
So, okay. And
that's
so,
my opinion.
That, I hear you.
But that's where I'm like, we got to be careful about what we say.
Yeah.
And saying once saved, always saved. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that. So that's a twist of the truth because you're saying something that isn't actually in the truthful Bible.
Yeah.
And whether you believe it or not.
So with the idea of saying, you know, God forgive me every night, that's one of those, you're saying a prayer, but are you even actually trying to please him, trying to follow him? And do you have a relationship? And so as a kid, when I hear that, oh, you just ask for your forgiveness every night and you'll be fine. You can do whatever you want.
Do whatever you want as long as you have forgiveness.
And so that's kind of that idea of almost that. Similar to that sense of that warning of once saved, always saved. It's kind of you're equating that person's salvation with something that they said or did sometime in the past rather than authentic relationship.
And faith.
And faith with Christ. And so,
yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why, I mean, man, you can spend, and people have, like, there's, you can find multiple podcasts where and seasons and movies and all different kinds of stuff where people are spending hours and days and months just talking around that whole topic of salvation and what it looks like and how it falls. And I think one of the biggest comforts and challenges, discomforting, one of the biggest comforts and discomforting things about the whole is we can't say, like, as people, we're not the ones that make that call.
We can't be God.
He makes that call.
We're not the gods.
He's the judge. And we talked about this even when it came to, for example, the thief.
The thief on the cross.
On the cross.
Like anybody else would have said, no, he can't go to heaven.
Yeah, right? Like he didn't ask for forgiveness of his sins.
Yeah, he didn't have a long relationship with Jesus.
He wasn't baptized.
Even the one I just said.
He didn't even.
You don't know.
I mean, we don't even know if he believed in Jesus' deity and the idea of him resurrecting. Like, all these things that we teach and hold to as kind of markers of people who are part of the faith, he likely, maybe he checked, maybe one, if that. Yeah. So
the Lord can decide who gets to pardon.
The Lord, exactly.
I said warden, but Lord, yes.
Yeah,
that was a comparison, right?
And he's the only one.
He gets to decide.
Really make that call.
And he knew in that moment what the thief's heart was.
Yeah,
and that's the thing is, I think he knows our hearts
exactly.
And so, if anything, I would say that's probably your best key into salvation.
Yeah,
is your heart posture. Again, I can't say it. That's up to God to decide.
And he knows.
I just think when I say things like that, like being worried about that, it's like, it's just a risky place to be.
Yeah.
Like, it's risky to tell someone that and possibly mislead them. Cause he also says stuff about us misleading.
Yeah.
Like, don't go mislead other people or you may yourself find yourself in danger. So I want to be really careful not to try to mislead people down to destruction.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's it called? If I can find it really quick, I don't know if I'll be fast about it, but there's this place in John where he's talking about our hearts and God knowing our hearts. And it's in, I want to say it's in 1 John, his first epistle. And I have to bring this up because as we talk about God knows our hearts, sometimes people hear that and you can hear that as an excuse. Oh, God knows my heart. Like, oh, God knows my heart. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. But he knows my. So this is it, that's yes, it, again, it's comforting, but it's also challenging. It's also a warning in scripture that God knows your heart, meaning he knows it better than you do.
Yeah.
Like sometimes
you may not know your heart.
You may not realize your heart. You may be. And so that's why scripture even says, I want to say in Proverbs or where is it? It's that the heart can be deceitful, you know, and but when we look at God's knowing the heart, it's him truly knowing even more than we know our own heart. And so if there's any shadow of doubt is pretty much what the scripture in John's getting at. Like if there's any type of shadow of doubt, room for error, then you need to check that because he says God knows your heart, right? Like he knows it better than we do in that sense. So that if your heart can't, if you don't feel like your heart could stand before him absolutely confident, then how can you have confidence on that day when you only know a fraction of your own heart and he knows the whole thing? Like the deep, ugly parts that you may be oblivious to, he knows it.
Yeah, so, he knows your blind spots.
Exactly.
And we all have those, by the way.
We do. Absolutely.
We like to think we don't, but
yeah. We do. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
My wife likes to point mine out. point mine out.
That's what a loving wife or husband.
Yeah, it's
good. If you're a lady, that's what
they're
for.
We are meant to help each other with that.
Iron sharpening iron.
Yes, that's right.
Right?
That's the same unity piece of of being in community too and like a small group of some sort.
Absolutely.
Getting to a point where you can allow people to point out your blind spots.
Absolutely. And so part of this, I mean, as we're talking about this idea of, you know, twist God's word so that lies feel like truth, this blurring moral lines, and then this idea of making the Bible seem outdated and oppressive. I think this is one of those, all of these, this corruption of truth is one of the reasons why we need to be surrounded in a community where we're speaking truth and sharing truth and pursuing truth together.
Yeah.
I think that's a big thing, that we are pursuing truth together, not always just digging in our heels and saying, all right, I know that I know. And, but pursuing truth. I've always, and so, and again, I might get stoned on this one. This is another one of those things. We're just doing all kinds of wrong stuff today. I might get stoned on this one.
Not that kind of stoned, people.
Right. But I've heard arguments. So, for example, the idea of bringing prayer into schools, bringing Bible reading into schools, and those kinds of things. I've heard arguments against that from Christians. Because they've said, well, I don't want my child to be exposed to or hear these other people.
The other viewpoints.
These other people praying their prayers or these other religious writings and readings and whatnot. Yeah. So, again, this is where I may get stoned. I'm like, no, put it all out there.
Yeah.
Let's see what wins. And that's kind of more of that.
That's an interesting take. Yeah.
It's more of that Elisha.
Refined by fire kind of thing.
That Elisha and hey, prophets of Baal, come on. Let's call on our God. Let's see who answers. Like it's more of that mindset for me where it's like, look, if people know this, if they hear it, they share it, and we line it up next to something else, God's word will prevail.
Yeah,
I'm just, I am confident God's word will prevail.
Yeah.
He will be the one to answer the prayers. You go ahead, bring your satanic Bible in and do your prayers. And then let's bring this one in and do the prayers and let's see what happens.
Right. Yeah. And I see that. Yeah. It's a risk thing.
Yeah,
right?
It is.
Parents are afraid. But that's where we need to do our part too and teach our kids well. But yeah, I think you're right because right now we're getting completely pushed out.
Absolutely.
And that's not good.
Yeah. Cause, and this
actually
is
an absence of knowledge is definitely worse.
Yeah. Right. to say, I'd rather there be truth available.
Yeah. Alongside
than the truth not be available
at all. The tares.
Yep. Because let's face it. If we're taking these things away, right. Say we're taking the truth away. Where we're taking that interaction, that reliance on God away, the prayers, the Bible, the truth, so to speak, on the table. If we're taking that away, lies will end up on the table.
Mm.
Period. Like, lies are going to be there one way or another. The question is whether or not the truth is going to be in the mix.
Ooh.
Because if you think that your kids aren't going to be taught something that's unbiblical at a school nowadays,
yeah,
I want to know what school you sending them to. I want to know.
Yeah.
Like,
probably even the Christian school, right? That, right? Yeah.
Well, and even in that, because yeah, if you think your kid's going to go to a Christian school and not be taught something that your family doesn't necessarily 100% line up with,
yeah,
a different viewpoint, interpretation, denominational view,
mm-hmm,
like, that must be a real close-knit community.
Yeah.
Real close-knit community. So I say put the truth out there. Like, yeah, just
that's a good one. I've never even really thought about that. I think that's a good idea.
But of course, it's outdated.
The outdated thing has definitely been a common, I mentioned it earlier when you said it, but, many, many people out there trying to claim just that the Bible is old and not relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Anymore.
Yeah.
And, but what's interesting is we're facing all the same battles that we've always faced.
Come on now.
Like everything that we are facing. I mean, besides just the vehicles on which they are being transported, right?
Yeah.
Because we didn't have social media and stuff then, but we did have what social media media causes, which is like the depression, anxiety, and all those things. All those things were available back then.
Yeah.
The same struggles.
Absolutely.
That humans have. And then the same answers are available.
Yeah.
In the Bible. And so that's just a real common one that I hear all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just not accurate.
Nope. Not at all. What's it called? It's like you said, there's so many things that really apply. It's funny because every now and again we'll read a passage and we'll be like, hey, what does this sound like in America today? Like, it sounds like today. Like, this passage like that we Babylon? Just read in Isaiah. Like, I know, no, seriously, though. But just even that passage that we just read and how we're talking about they're exchanging, you know, bitter for sweet and truth for lies and light for darkness. Mm-hmm. We see that.
Yeah.
We see that today. So we know there's so much in here, so much that's taught that's relevant to today. And even so much so that we're still discovering things, archaeology and history, scientifically, and it's pointing back to this being true.
Yeah.
How can this be outdated when we still haven't caught up with it yet?
You know, it's a big one that just came to mind as you were saying that, that my youngest is dealing with right now. Is like, this looks like it's for kids, so it must be for kids. And just the hidden things that have happened within like the cartoon world, or it's definitely prevalent on like YouTube and stuff. And
I mean, let's just talk things SpongeBob. Are made to let's talk like, SpongeBob.
Sure,
like made to look like it's for pants, kids, right?
But, and it's got this funny thing. But a then lot like, of if adult you really humor. Look at it, a lot of adult humor, which shouldn't even be for adults. It's more like
crude,
right? Crude,
yeah. Yeah,
crude humor, crude ideologies, and wrong ideologies, and that's true of the music industry too.
Oh yes,
like you got these like teeny boppers, and they look really good. My daughter just like completely falls for this stuff.
Yeah,
and she's always like, well, but it must be good because of this, right? Mm-hmm. And she'll list out the things that it should be good for because
taking a little bit of truth,
a little bit of truth, and I'm like,
or even a lot of bit. I shouldn't even say a lot. It could be a lot of bit, but they twist in that little bit of wrong.
Yeah, they're talking about love. It's got to be okay.
Yep.
Or they're talking about fun. It's got to be okay.
Yep.
And it's like, no, because they're talking about it in ways that involve drugs or you know, whatever.
Yeah.
There's all these different things, hidden messages within all that stuff.
Absolutely.
And it's just that little bit of truth with the lie. Yeah.
Love is love.
Love is love.
That's one of those.
Oh, yeah.
Twisting of God's word.
That's a twisting of God's word. Yeah.
No, love is not love. 1 John 4 says, God is love.
God is love.
Right? And so there's, again, when we look at how we're loving our kids and how we're loving each other and accepting of one another and loving each other, we're using a definition of love and acceptance of one another that is not biblical. That's not true to this. But then we'll try to throw like try to mix it in and talk about, oh, God's loving and Jesus is loving and yeah. he was accepting and he was there for the outcast.
If God loves me, then why does he do this?
Yes.
Like, right? If God loves me, then why doesn't he just give me everything I want?
Mm-hmm.
And if God loves me, then why can't I just, you know, act however I want?
Because that's not love.
Because that's not
love. That's not love.
Right? Yeah. That's a really common one I see as well. It's like, well, what is love?
Exactly.
Like, we really need to define it
exactly
as the Bible defines it.
Exactly.
Because if all the other definitions are very broad,
mm-hmm.
and it could be anything.
Yeah, and usually very permissive.
And very permissive.
Very permissive to our faults and sins
our lustful natures.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, dude, we're getting through number one right now.
Yeah, we got through one. Are we out of time already?
We're over. This is gonna end up being split up.
We're gonna have to make it into two.
Yeah, this is gonna be split up.
And scene.
I believe it. No, let's keep on hitting it because I know we have that
part
other,
two.
Yep, we have that other topic, and we'll just make
we'll come back
push that on to another day. Yeah.